From WGVU Public Media, this is Powerful Women Let's Talk. Conversations with women making an impact in West Michigan. Stay connected to Powerful Women. Please like and subscribe.
Hi there, I'm Jennifer Moss, and welcome to a special edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. It's special because it's Women's History Month, and we have a great lineup of powerful women that we're talking to for the month. And today I have the pleasure of talking to someone who's truly making an impact on community here in Grand Rapids and beyond. Excited to welcome Lysandra Gaddy, President and CEO of Grand Rapids Community Foundation, actually Michigan's oldest community foundation, we might add. Welcome, Lysandra.
Thank you, Jen. So happy to be here.
Yes. Well, and truth, it's been a few years since we last checked in with you. And as we celebrate Women's History Month, we're looking at powerful women in our community who are making a difference. And of course, that is certainly you. The last time we talked, you were the CEO of the Women's Resource Center. Mm-hmm. So let's start with how long you've been with Grand Rapids Foundation, which is now under your leadership and has actually moved into its, second century of service.
Yes. Yes, I have been with the Grand Rapids Community Foundation now for 2 years as of last week.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. And just enjoying getting an opportunity to learn about the incredible work. As you said, we are now in our second year of our second century of impact and with the Grand Rapids community and actually beyond West Michigan, our impact extends. So it's incredible work. We have an incredible team, and I would be remiss if I did not lift up the hundreds of volunteers and committee members and that serve to help us do this work. So.
And for those who may not know, tell us about the role of the Community Foundation and what it plays in the Grand Rapids community.
Yeah, we often say the Community Foundation is the community's foundation. And I think what is so important about our philanthropic role in the community is that we are able to shift and navigate and adapt to what's taking place in the community, the biggest needs that are taking place. And over the last 12, 18 months, we've seen tremendous change within our community from a political, from a coming off of the pandemic. And we're able to shift and be that convener, that voice of the community, if you will. And it's important. And what I love so much about the work that we do, it's not the voices of our teammates. It's because we're the Community's Foundation. We should be lifting up and amplifying the voices of our community.
And what members. Is your role within that? Because you mm-hmm. lead that. That's your leadership mm-hmm. person. And you take these different roles that you've had, and we'll talk about a couple others in a moment. Mm-hmm. But and take organizations and things to the next level. So what is it that you are doing to kind of take the lead of the Grand Rapids Foundation?
I would say maybe chief ambassador. So really what I love so much is having an opportunity to sit like one-on-one, like we're doing, Jen, and having those conversations. So with our nonprofit partners, with our donor partners, key stakeholders, civic leaders, around our region and the state, if you will, too, and talking about the work, how Grand Rapids Community Foundation plays a role in that work, but also how do we bring all the other important voices around the table to help us to ensure that we have collective impact. So for me, it's not only about having those one-on-one conversations, but having the conversations where we're in the room with other funders and saying, how can we impact this body of work within our community? And how do we come together to ensure that we are making sure that the voices on who are not amplified and lifted up every day, we always talk about the voice, the people who are closest to the problems often have the solutions to the problem. Mm-hmm. So how collectively are we helping to amplify and lift up those voices? And that's what I see as my role as that ambassador for that chief ambassador for this work. But I'm working alongside a very dedicated team of team members and board of trustees and so many committee members who are helping us do this work and share our resources.
And when you do the work and you look at that, what is that work for some people? Like, what are, give examples of some of the things that the Grand Rapids Community Foundation has that philanthropic responsibility for, who you're helping and serving in the community?
Mm-hmm. Although we are the, we're entrusted with this permanent endowment, and we are looking at not only the needs for today, but the needs for in the future. So some of the ways that we're able to support some of the systems change work around housing, around education, and working with nonprofit organizations who are working very hard and dedicated their resources and their bandwidth to ensuring that we're not just looking at the supply of housing, mm-hmm. but how do we address the systematic changes that had impacted so many people? I mean, it could have been redlining in the past. We don't have enough of stock on inventory of stock for housing in our community, and that's work that we, along with so many others, have to address. Those are one ways that we're doing that, but also our scholars. For decades, we've provided hundreds and millions of dollars in scholarships to students to help them attain education, post-secondary education. But it's not just about that. How do we help assist students to get to trades? So looking at how do we support our young people and people who are mid-career advance and find resources for themselves and their families in the future. And we can't do that alone. It's taking us working with many partners and especially our nonprofit partners to address those needs and how do we support them in their roles around addressing the various community needs that we're seeing today.
Do you partnership like with partnership goals such as programming and things along those lines with various entities?
Yeah, we don't, as a as a philanthropic organization, we should not be doing programming.
Okay.
So we are not, but we are helping to lift up the programming that our nonprofit partners
that
are
comes
doing.
Before you.
Mm-hmm. We have a program department that address the various programming needs of the various nonprofit partners that we have and scholarship needs that our students may have.
Gotcha. And so prior to leading Grand Rapids Community Foundation, you had a different role and you were the head and the CEO of the Women's Resource Center. Mm-hmm. Tell us, how does your work at the Community Foundation differ from what you did at the Women's Resource Center? Because they're two totally different entities.
Yes.
And you had direct work, I would imagine,
yes.
at the Women's Resource Center with people, whereas you can't do the programming here. But
yeah.
you impacted a lot of lives there at the Women's Resource Center, though, during your time.
Yeah, we the incredible team there, too. The biggest difference I can immediately say is that where I was boots on the ground, even as the CEO, I was constantly ensuring that I was having one-on-one conversations with the participants, whether it was a woman coming out of the justice system or a woman seeking work, and being able to have those one-on-one connections were really, really powerful and fuel mm-hmm. For my passion around the mission and vision around that work. And at the Community Foundation, I am able to see direct impact for organizations such as Women's Resource Centers, our housing organizations, our educational organizations. I don't want to name any because mm-hmm. I don't want
absolutely no.
because I don't want any nonprofit to feel. But I am so passionate about the work of our nonprofit partners after serving at several nonprofits myself, and ensuring that the incredible work that they are doing. We cannot, let me just say this, we cannot fund every organization. No one foundation can fund all the work of the community, but the collective impact that we can, that we do bring together, has a tremendous impact on the nonprofits we're serving. So the biggest difference that I see is our ability to support the work and lift up the work and share the work through our Partners Magazine, highlighting one of our nonprofit partners, maybe doing work around wellness or healthcare, serving children, serving food and the resources around and the lack of access to food and having food deserts are ways that we're able to support the work of the many nonprofits in our community. And I so enjoy that because there are nonprofits I didn't know about, and I'm just enjoying learning about those nonprofits and getting to know their leaders of that work.
And I bet the work at places such as the Women's Resource Center helped prepare you for what you're doing at the mm-hmm. foundation, right?
Yes, 100%. I mean, I've had years and years, decades, I would say, of board service for nonprofits. But serving on a board is one thing. Being entrenched in the work is another. Mm-hmm. And having the opportunity to serve in workforce development, having the opportunity to serve in a housing organization and a homeless organization serving men and women and individuals in our community. It has really prepared me for the work that we do. But I know the importance of, I talk about that collective impact, but the importance of collaboration. And I can speak specifically from that housing side and the workforce development work that I was able to do. The power of the collaborations among nonprofits is incredibly important. And when you're trying to do that work in isolation mm-hmm. and do it alone, you don't get as far with the work that you can do when you're partnering alongside other nonprofits.
Not as impactful, I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as we look at the work at the foundation and you are, you know, moving through, you have an upcoming event. Mm-hmm. It's the Black Legacy Fund and its gala coming up. It's kind of a subset, I would imagine, of the foundation, perhaps. Our news team just did a story on it. That's why it came to mind. You have it's the Black Legacy Fund and it's a gala. Mm-hmm. How does that work through the working community? What does that look like?
Yeah. First, I will share that the Community Foundation, we have several community partnership funds. And our oldest community partnership fund is our Youth Grant Committee. And these are youth making decisions and impact on organizations impacting youth. And so their voices are around the table in making those decisions. The Black Legacy Fund, we are so proud to share that we are celebrating 20 years of their impact in the community. And what the Black Legacy Fund builds on is the legacy of giving in Black communities in Greater Grand Rapids. And it supports causes today by contributing to the work of nonprofits, Black nonprofit leaders doing that work and engaged in that work. And the voices around the table look like the voices that they're supporting. And so celebrating the Black joy that this bring in the centuries of giving that has come out of Black communities in many forms. And one of the biggest ways that we have traditionally seen it in Black communities is our churches. Mm-hmm. So we're excited
because this
to celebrate
this. It's a huge
this.
Philanthropic fund. I mean, that
it is.
And again, 20 years or so it's been around.
20 years. And it was formerly called the African American Heritage Fund mm-hmm. and eventually changed to the Black Legacy Fund to incorporate all of our Black community. But we're excited. We're going to be celebrating the 20-year gala at the end of the month on the 27th, Friday the 27th. And celebrating those founding members celebrating donors who have been giving since day one. I don't want to mention those names, and you'll see some of those names in our upcoming partners. And the fact that I know for many, many years, the committee have wanted to start a giving circle. So we're going to be sharing some news about that and the many ways that you could support the efforts of organizations supporting the needs of Black community within Greater Grand Rapids. And if you want information on all of our community partnership funds, please visit our website.
Because I was going to say that that's just part and parcel of all of the work that the Grand Rapids Community Foundation does. That's just another element of it that maybe a lot of people didn't know about, but you are having an upcoming event to celebrate that. So congratulations on
Thank you.
As well, and the whole and all the work that you do there. So let's just talk about Lysandra a little bit. You've been recognized for your leadership, as we've talked about, and your expertise in the Grand Rapids community. You've gotten a lot of awards and honors. You were a member of the 2023 Grand Rapids 200 by Crane's Business Grand Rapids, honored at the Giants Awards in 2019 with the W.W. Plummer Humanitarian Award, a previous Athena Leadership Award finalist. I have to mention a common bond we have, our sorority, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, a member there. As we look at Women's History Month, and you're surely a history maker, what are your thoughts about how you can continue to make a positive impact here in our local community and beyond?
Well, first, thank you. One of the biggest ways I see as I think about that question is amplifying women's voices. I think that's still incredibly important. Amplifying those voices of women who can't speak for themselves. And so one of the ways that I've been able to do that, over the years, there have been a number of ways where women of color in particular have experienced at the executive level, have experienced adversity within their in their companies. And it has been a personal mission of mine, and I don't talk about this a lot or often at all, but having those one-on-one meetings to help navigate, because I've dealt with that, and I've it's very difficult to navigate a challenging situation as you're leading, but you're sometimes quietly dealing with a number of forces that are trying to undercut work or shifting the work you're doing or elevating others and giving credit to others for the work that you're doing. And it's very, very difficult when women are facing those situations. And it's not just women of color. Most women are experiencing those things, but helping them navigate those challenges have become, it started off, a few women came to me for various over the years, and it, unfortunately, I probably get a call twice a year, at least. And so helping to amplify those voices, helping them to navigate how to get help and support, helping them to not lose hope, and helping them to see that the boss is women that they are. And so it's important for me that as I have received mentorship and coaching and the support over the years, that I am also doing that. And it's not, I do have an incredible passion for young women entering the workforce. They will always remain a part of my heart. But so often, women who are mid-career are often forgotten. And so, and of course, if they're in executive role, a lot of times they may be already mid-career. So helping to support and to listen and to understand the challenges, the real challenges that women are facing today in 2026 is incredibly important. And as long as it's taking place and as long as I have breath, I will.
That is amazing. And you know what, Lysandra, thank you so much for taking time to share your story with us for this special edition of Powerful Women for this March is Women's History Month. Greatly appreciated. And of course, a big thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. I'm Jennifer Moss, and this is Powerful Women Let's Talk.
Powerful Women Let's Talk is a production of WGVU Public Media. Episodes available at wgvunews.org and on Apple and Spotify. Please like and subscribe.